upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Midlife Midsters podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most of midlife.
Well, this is going to be a fun subject. We're going to talk about fitness today. I know I love the subject.
So do I.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical.
But here we go. I'll open up the floor, or I'll open up the table to our discussion, starting with a little bit of a story. I've enjoyed sports in general, and adventurous sports as well, somewhat, all my life. But I've never pushed myself, like, to the brink. I find myself in a very comfortable zone and slowly push myself. And you can't see the individual in the room behind the camera, but there is somebody here named Liz who inspired me to jump in and do a sprint triathlon, and so I did it. I wasn't so worried about the swimming part. The biking, I'm not a big biker, so I was worried about that. The running, I'll walk and then sprint and walk. And I've run in the past, but I've never been a great runner. And definitely out of shape when I started. These meetups, I guess you would call the training, start at 6 in the morning, which I hated, but I showed up. And on the running day was the day I dreaded the most. And I remember, like, within the first, like, couple of weeks, I'm in the back of the group, slow, pretty much the slowest one there. And one morning, one of the running coaches came up and started running beside me. And I could tell that she was going to slow her pace to my pace. I was like, oh, no, go ahead, just run. Don't wait for me. I'm going to end up walking part of it, and then I'll pick up running, and I'm just going to slow you down. And she goes, you're going to walk? I said, yes. And she goes, well, why would you do that? And I said, what? And she goes, are you hurt? Are you injured? Did you hurt your ankle? Like, why would you stop and walk? And I said, because I'm out of breath. And she goes, of course you are, Marianne. It's cardio. You're going to be out of breath. Let's go. And that changed my mindset. Now, I was able to run further. I'm not a huge, big runner. Liz will testify to that. But I can run now. And it was changing that mindset of somebody saying, like, what would be your barrier? You have no barrier. Just go. And I did.
Okay, so I have a story that goes very differently than that. And I was in my mid-40s. I signed up for a morning boot camp. And as you guys know, Carmen and Marianne, I don't love fitness in any way, shape,
or form. Lesbian hates exercise.
I hate exercise. But I am smart enough to know that it is good for me. And just like eating vegetables, I was like, I'm going to do this. So I signed up for this morning boot camp and I did it for a couple of months. The last month that I did it was running month. And the idea with running month was on the first day of the month, we went up to the track at the high school and we ran a mile, and the woman who was running the boot camp timed us. So that was our baseline. And then every day that month, we met and we did various different kinds of running. We did Indian runs uphill where you like pass the other people, the line runs. And, you know, we did bleacher runs up
and down. I'm sure we can't call them Indian runs anymore, but
that's what they used to be called in high school.
You know the drill, right? So we did all these different running drills every single day. And, you know, everybody seemed to be improving. It was great. On the last day of the month, we did another run on the track at the high school for 1 mile, and she timed us. And I was, I kid you not, I'm not making this up. I was 3 minutes slower. There are people that can run a mile in almost 3 minutes. It took me 12.
Oh, my gosh.
And at that point, I was like, there is a reason that this is not for me. So
funny story.
That is hilarious.
I don't think that's the norm, though.
No, but it's my norm.
But so. You still got exercise. So
I
that's
did get
good.
Exercise. It was a good couple of months, a good 3 month run, but not for me. Just not for me.
You know. Okay. Oh, go ahead. I I love the endorphins from running. I don't know about you guys, but I think that's what kept me in the game for so long. I've always exercised, do bar class, solid core, you name it. I like to cycle it. But as I've gotten older, and I'd like to hear your views on it, really, for me, it's fit for task. So that is one of the pieces. Strength is another, and then stamina is another. But fit for task at 58 years of age, I want to make sure in 10 and 20 years, I can get up off the floor. We hear these things. You can take your groceries in. You're able to be resilient from an injury. All those things that take task that are tasks as we get older. And that's how I look at it now. And I don't try not to look at it as exercise. That's another word I don't like. I like the word training because I like to have goals set and train towards that. Now, I know you've trained for years off and on. I mean, you were a college athlete. I'd like to hear your thoughts about how you look at exercise now.
So it's changed a lot because I was always an athlete. Like, I started swimming when I was 5. And I was on the swim team up through high school. One of the proudest moments of my life was I set the Georgia State record in the 25-yard breaststroke when I was 10 years old. And to this day, it is top 5 moments of my entire life.
It's fantastic.
So I was, but we grew up in an era where I feel like our mothers and maybe even some of us weren't really encouraged to do athletics because Title IX wasn't passed until 1972. And so you see a really big generational difference like right behind us with millennials and Gen Zs because I was sort of the very beginning of it. I grew up in the Deep South. There were very few sports that girls could do. Like there was swimming, tennis, cheerleading, track and field, basketball. That was softball. That was kind of it. I mean, there was no field hockey. There was no lacrosse. There was none of these things that girls play now. But there was no volleyball in my high school, like none of that stuff. So I did swimming and I did ballet, which was actually a very different kind of athletic pursuit, but I loved it. I was a high school cheerleader. I loved that. I actually threw discus and shot put when I was in high school. So I did that's one of the things I like about our generation was that you could do all these different things. You didn't have to specialize as an athlete. I went to boarding school for a couple years. I was a terrible skier, but I did the ski team because it was fun, you know, whatever. And then I went to college and I had decided to give up on swimming early in high school because the 5 a.m. and the 2 practices a day. I was like, I don't want to do this in high school. Then I go to college and I decide to row, which is like, I mean, it's like water torture. It's, you know, I worked out twice a day, 6 days a week, 5:30 in the morning, but it literally changed my life because I didn't know what I could achieve until I rowed. And I found this other gear, this other place. So for me, that's what, you know, it wasn't just about fitness. It was about teamwork and camaraderie. And I had a boyfriend on the team and I had a lot of friends on the team and like all that sort of stuff. What was hard for me is as I got older, you can't work out like that. Like your body cannot do that. And so now I've moved, you call it fit for purpose, I call it functional fitness, but I have such a love for it. I've recently gotten back into lifting. I lifted in college. I got a trainer this time around because I was like, I'm in my 50s now. It's really important that I lift correctly. I've gotten so into it. And and like you, I do cardio and sprints. And I running's not great for me, but I row and I swim for my cardio. And then I do a lot of lifting. But it's interesting because this summer, I had one of the most wonderful experiences of my life as my son is really into fitness as well. He was a high school football player. He played baseball before that. And we went to the gym several times a week together. And he would be like, Mom, can you do this? Mom, can you do this? And then he was like, at the end of the summer, he's like, I need you to send me videos. So I was like upside down balance ball doing single leg Romanian deadlifts and like sent them to Gabriel. He's like, Mom, that's unbelievable. And I was like, uh-huh. And then I did this one like hip thing and he couldn't do it. And he's 19. And he was like, how can you do that? And I can't do that. I was like, So for me, it's like exciting. It's fun. I really enjoy it. Like I really live for, I had COVID like 5 weeks ago and I haven't been able to exercise really. And it's driving me crazy.
I mean, that feeling is literally so foreign to me. I do not enjoy exercise in any way, shape, or form. Notwithstanding that, I mean, I do recognize functional fitness or fit to task is probably a good motto. And I do try to get exercise on a regular basis, but it's low key. Like I walk, I wear my Fitbit so that I make sure I get my 10,000 steps every day. And I do some light weights at home for bone health. But the idea that it would be an activity that I would do for pleasure as opposed to it's a necessary task that I have to check off and make sure I check off, but it's a task. It is just not something I get any pleasure out of. And you know, another funny little story.
I don't think that's unusual.
I don't either. And I don't, there's days I dread it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But then I get in there and I love it.
But see, the problem is that doesn't happen.
Maybe you haven't found the right one.
That's what you know. So you love to dance.
Dance to me is not, it is exercise and it's aerobic and it's good. But it's more of an art / activity than it is to me a sport because I'm not doing it all out to get my heart pumping and to, you know, test myself. I do it because I just kind of like, I like music and I like dancing. But if that's a way to get exercise, it's perfectly fine with me. I'll dance every day.
It's great for balance. It's great for, I mean, dance is great for a lot of things.
It is. It is.
Did you do sports growing up?
So in middle school, believe it or not, in middle school, I did like it. I was on the basketball team for a couple of years and I really liked it. A basketball team. But then I was one of the tallest kids in the class in like fifth and sixth grade. And by eighth grade, I was like one of the shortest. Aww. So everybody had a growth spurt and I did not. And I also played field hockey, but I didn't love it. I just didn't love it. I'll tell you a funny story about cycling because, you know, my husband is...
He's a big cyclist.
Big cyclist. That's his passion. He's literally ridden up a mountain in France on a bike, 16,000 feet of elevation gain.
Unbelievable.
That's just not for me.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah. He loved it. But when we were newly dating, and, you know, you're trying to find points of common interest. And so I knew he was into cycling. He's always been into cycling. He talked me into signing up with him to do a 100K overnight, one of these charity bike ride things. And at the time, I was, 30? I was a little naive. I was like, I like bike riding. Except cycling, the way he does it, is not bike riding. And so we did this tour together. And the joke is that I did 100K and he did 200 because he had to keep circling back to make sure I was still alive and still on the trail. So it was a bad experience for me and something that we decided we were not going to have as a shared interest for that reason. But I don't love it.
You know, I wonder, so in my family, all of us, I have two boys. The oldest loves working out, did swim team, baseball, did all of that. My youngest was a Division I athlete, didn't love the school, and so ended up changing that and going to Division III, but an incredible athlete. And up until recently, held the Virginia state record on percentages of face-offs, won. So he's incredible. And he actually inspires me. Like, he checks on me. He sends me videos. So I think sometimes having a partner or somebody else, I mean, you're not a cyclist, but I know your son works out.
He does, but I'm not going to be lifting weights. That's just not my bag. Now, a person sitting at this table by the name of Carmen told me that she was going to do hip-hop dance classes with me.
No, I'll see that exercise. I would see because I love that.
That I would do.
I do think, to your point, I hate cycling. I did one sprint triathlon. I was like, never again because I hate biking. I'm terrible at it. I don't enjoy it. I'm like, this is miserable to me. And as I like to say about me and the rest of my family, we're built for power, not speed. And so, like, running, I can run, sort of, but I'm not very good at it. Like, I'm good at swimming and rowing because they're all body power sports. And so I do think there's an element of that to it. Like, I'm not built like a runner. I'm not built like a cyclist. I'm not a featherweight by any stretch of the imagination.
I like most of it. I'm not a good biker either. I love the pool. You and I both... I could swim, and I did swim team as a kid. Yeah. So that's great. You know, the other thing I think is interesting for when I look at my training or wanting to be fit, when I was in my 20s and I was active and I did run and bike and worked out, but it was more about, and I hate to say it, but at that age, there is a vanity piece we end up losing. So it's that I wanted to look fit. I mean, I wanted to be fit too, but not like now. So now that's not why I work out. It's not because of the way I look or the way clothes fit.
It's not why I work out, but let's be honest,
there's benefits. There is, but that's not my motive.
Neither.
And for me, that would be pretty much the only motive.
Okay, would be strength and stamina and fit for
Yeah, I would say not the only motive, because I do think overall health is important. Mm-hmm. And I do think exercise absolutely is important to overall health, which is why I walk every day.
Right.
I mean, I think I would say to somebody else like me that doesn't love exercise, it is like taking a vitamin or eating your spinach. It's something that you do need to do, and you have to find a way to work it in. And I work it in by little things like walking. And one of the things I do, which sounds ridiculous, but it gets the steps up on the old Fitbit. I park in a garage at work. I deliberately park on the lowest level, and I walk each level all the way up. I don't take the stairs. I don't take the elevator. I go all the way up the spiral. And then at the end of the day, I come all the way back down. And I know that's 1,200 steps each way. And the people in the garage laugh because every morning I'm like at each floor.
Hi.
But I do that because it means taking extra time. But I would rather take the extra time and at least get the walking in than exert myself to do something like run, which I hate, or lift weights, which I really don't like. So I think it's about finding what you can do that's comfortable for you and making sure you do that.
To be really clear, one of the reasons I do so much exercise is for my 85-year-old self. So it is to be able to get off the floor. It is to be able to pick up grandbabies. It is to be able to put suitcase in the overhead bin. And the reality is that, I mean, from an aerobic standpoint, your VO2 max declines with age no matter what you do. So it's like, I'm working as hard as I can to make that as good as I can because it's associated with longevity. It reduces it is actually the number one thing that reduces your Alzheimer's risk is exercise. And so
Heart health is brain health.
Heart health is brain health. And, you know, my father had vascular dementia. And so that for me is it. So are there things that I do that I hate? I hate sprints. Hate them. I do them anyway because it's VO2 max and heart health. I hate box jumps. I do them anyway. There's certain lifts that I do that I'm like, I don't really like this. But to me, it's that there's a lot about exercise that I like, but there's a lot that's sort of like this. I'm like, this is for my 85-year-old self.
You know, Leslie Ann, you are active though. I know
one passion
that we have together is photography. We will be on our feet. I've seen you do squats like up and down. On the boat with your camera up high, down low, up. So I think you get more activity than you think, especially, I mean, we'll do 3 and 4 and 5 days sometimes where it's early in the morning to the evening and we are active. We don't stop.
I think that, that's active. And I think being active is important. To me, that's different because I'm caught up in doing something else. It's not about...
It's not heart rate.
Yeah. And it's not aerobic, which is unfortunate because would be good to have more aerobic activity in my life. But it's also like, to me, that's about the photography, the additional benefit of up and down and out and around and climbing over the side of boats and doing some of the crazy stuff we do. I tell my husband all the time, you know, who knew photography was like a blood sport? I mean, I bled for photography. and I guess that's the point in that. Is that you can, as long as you're an active person,
right,
and find things to do, you can actually still be relatively fit.
It's movement. You want to keep moving. And I know that another indicator of longevity is lean muscle mass. Mm-hmm. So at our age, lifting some weights is super important. When I started getting in the gym, so I've done a lot of different things, solid core Pilates, you name it, but I... also have been in and out of a gym. I worked out with your, I used to take your daughter.
That's right. Maria took my daughter when she was in middle school.
And I, for like 3 years, I was so religious about lifting weights. And then I got out of it and did a little bit of weights and then got back in it and go to CrossFit now. And my bone density went up 8%. And so that is so meaningful to me. So now I know that I will not stop lifting weights and how important that is. I'm a nurse too, so I'm always thinking. Sure. I've seen people that aren't resilient coming back from surgery or have immobility issues. And as long as I'm healthy and can be mobile, I want to be mobile because there may be anything that happens in the future. I lose that mobility. So I want to like power up my muscle as much as possible and stay as mobile as possible.
As my trainer would say, the motion is the lotion.
It is.
I was actually, I will say the one thing besides dancing that I really did find that I liked was yoga. I actually really liked yoga. Yeah. I had to stop because, you know, I have an eye issue and I can't do inversions anymore. So like no downward dogs. So I gave up yoga, but I did go out on Saturday afternoon. I got invited to go to a play with a friend, and she had another friend that was part of our group that went to this play. That woman is a yoga instructor. And so I said to her what I just said to you, used to really like yoga, but can't do it anymore because of my eye. And she was like, come and see me. I will custom design.
Oh, cool.
An activity for you that was, and I have any inversions, no headstands, no downward dog, none of that. And I actually am kind of tempted to take her up on that because I do like yoga, and yoga is, it's not, again, not aerobic, but it is strength and, yep. You know, hopefully would help with bone density and
oh, good. I don't do yoga. I can't be quiet.
I hate yoga.
I just can't be quiet. I've tried.
You guys are so far.
I hate it.
For listeners, let's just, I want to just throw a few things out, and I want, like for Leslie Ann, for listeners, from somebody that doesn't enjoy it, what advice would you give them in thinking about something that they could do, like baby steps that has helped you? Because I know you're active and I know you do things. I know you mentioned some things, but mindset as well. Well, like what are the things that you would tell somebody?
Well, I mean, I think you have to find the hook. Right. So for you guys, it's the actual, you actually do enjoy it and you get endorphins from it. And then they happen to be. So I have to have a different, there's got to be a different way in. Right. And I think it is just the thought of kind of what you've touched on. I mean, I do want to try to be healthier overall. I think it's a good thing to try to be healthy as we get older. And then also, like, it doesn't have to be a fitness routine. It could be integrating something that's building your fitness into your day, which is why I mentioned walking up from the garage, right? Or dog walking. You know, they say people who have dogs get like much more physical activity, many more steps than people who don't, because we go out and we walk our dogs.
Right.
There's a bajillion reasons why one should have a dog, but that's a reason to have a dog. It's good for your health.
It is.
And then also, I think it helps a little bit for me to focus on, I love the earth. I love nature. This is something we've talked about. I like being out in different weather. And so instead of going out to walk because I have to go get my 1,000 steps this hour, I like to go out and walk because it's a beautiful day. And I need to go out and participate in that day. So the focus is, I'm downplaying in my mind, oh my God, this is exercise. It's something I have to do that I don't like. It's like, I don't want to eat the spinach on my plate. It's okay. Here's on the other side of the plate, mashed potatoes.
Right.
I love mashed potato rice. So the mashed potatoes for me is, oh, I get to be outside and I get to experience the weather and see the beautiful sunshine or the snow or feel the rain on my face. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know,
go ahead.
One of the things that you're bringing up that I think is really important and has been over the last couple of years a really good lesson for me is, a lot of this relates to just my drive in general, and it's not always the healthiest thing. Let's be honest. Like, I can be like, I need to get, you know, COVID, the first time I had COVID, somebody gave me a really good tip that exercising hard too soon after COVID, who knows if it's true or not, you might know, Marianne, can be a contributor to long COVID. So I gave myself a, because I exercise hard. And so I gave myself like
self heal.
Yeah. I gave myself like a 5-week break from like hard stuff. But what I've realized as I got older is that drive and that competitiveness and all of that isn't always the greatest thing. And so one of the things that I've started to do is like, if Marianne happens to text me and say, Marianne's my neighbor, do you want to go for a walk? I will actually now turn down, like, I'm going to do a hard rowing workout and I'll go walk with my friend. Because I'm realizing, to your point about enjoying nature or enjoying your friends or whatever, that's actually more important to me than getting the fifth hard or fourth hard workout of the week. And the on Sunday, actually, though, but I still can take it to extremes. On Sunday after church, I went to church with a friend of mine, and then she's been having a hard time. And then she was like, do you want to walk afterwards? So we did like a 4 mile walk. And then my other friend had said, do you want to hike? So I think I hiked like 9 miles Sunday. But it was all like relaxed and in good fun. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't intense. So I think the way you think about it, I probably have some lessons to learn there.
Go ahead. Mine's kind of two ways. I'm goal oriented. So I do like to set goals. I like a mix of group being together with others and pushing each other. And then I like just my own goals and training towards it. And it's not about drive, but it is about accomplishment and fulfillment. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, feeling fulfilled is more important than being happy in some ways to me. I think fulfillment's important. The other piece is I do walk. I'll sprint and I'll walk. I love putting my earbuds in. I love listening to music. And it's meditation for me. I know the camera's meditation for me in a very quiet way. This, like, it's chaos in my head, but at the end of that walk or that run, because my walks are like up and down hills, they're strenuous, but that chaos turns into just a peace at the end. Like, I've just gotten rid of all kinds of things in my head with that music and just going.
You got your Teddy Swims going?
I've got my Teddy Swims going.
We like to lose control.
But I also like challenges. So I've jumped into different types of exercise for challenges. I did finish the sprint triathlon. I probably won't do another one, Liz. But I might. And then getting into the CrossFit arena, and I do work with a personal trainer there too, was somebody that did CrossFit and mentioned it. And I didn't take it as a challenge, but I basically was like, okay, if that person can do it, I can do it too. And so I did it. So there is a little bit of that as well, but I like having both, and I choose to walk and not go in the gym if my head needs it.
I agree. Walking is the best thing for
it's great.
Let me ask you guys a
question. Or swimming.
Start with you, Carmen. Mm. Did you grow up in a family where exercise was something other people in the family did? Your sister, your parents?
That's a really good question. So my father grew up in Honduras and actually played soccer all through his growing up. So he was pretty active. My mother would always be like, oh, I wasn't an athlete. But, you know, my mom went to high school in the 60s. And she played basketball and she was a cheerleader, which for a small town in West Texas was actually quite athletic. And my mom would like, you know, she would. It was the 70s, so she would run and she would do stuff. And my mom was still is, even in her late 70s. My mother's very adventurous. So, like, she went on a canoeing trip in the boundary waters of Minnesota when I was, like, 8 years old with some friends. And she would go hunt. I grew up in middle Georgia. She'd gone hunting with people in the Okefenokee Swamp. And, like, so my mother was very adventurous. And I think both my sister and I, we were more organized sports because it was that era. We're really into that. And then my stepdad came on the scene and he was from New York and loved baseball. So he like taught me. I never really got into baseball or softball or basketball, but he taught me how to throw a ball and he bought me a mitt and stuff. So I do think our whole family was pretty into sports and stuff.
Do you think that influenced how you view sports?
Well, I don't think that there was any impediment about me being a girl and doing sports because my stepfather, especially, and my mom were like, that wasn't even a conversation. Now, I did know girls in high school who were like from really sporty families. We weren't those people, but we were off like, you know, sort of like athletic, and they would always let me swim in the ocean. And if I wanted to try parasailing on vacation, they'd let me. And I always water skied. My Aunt Lanita, they had a boat. So when I was growing up, we had some family reunions in Texas, and Aunt Lanita would always drive the ski boat. Aunt Lanita and Uncle Gene would always drive the ski boat. And so I knew how to ski. And my mother was really big on, you need to know all these things. So she let me take horseback riding lessons, and I got to go skiing, which is actually kind of rarefied air, especially growing up where I grew up and at that time. But my mom was super into that. So, yeah, I think that had a big impact on me.
How about you, Marianne?
So similar in some ways. My mother is active. So, and exercise-wise, she swims every single day. She's 80 years old. She gets in the pool and she does her exercises, and she's always done that. My father, when I was young, was always active and doing things. As he got older, he was a mall walker. Now he's 91, 92 now, so he's not walking the malls. But they were active. But I think more than that, there were four of us in the household, four children. And we were always expected to like be outside and do things. So we were always swimming. My mother always took us to the lake. We always did fun things that were kind of sport-like. Even I remember my mom would take watermelon and put like baby oil on it, and we would have teams with our friends.
Stop it.
And the watermelon be in the middle, and then you'd have these lines on either side of the lake, and you'd have to try and get it. But, you know, it slips. So it always like challenging stuff. And kickball, with just the four of us, we could play kickball, we could play baseball. So my parents always encouraged us to be outside and doing things. I remember in Australia, I was on a swim team, and it was open water swim. So it wasn't pools. It would be in the lagoons. And I think that's why I'm not intimidated by open water, like jumping in a lake or a bay and swimming. And that was helpful. So my parents always pushed us to do a lot of activity. So we always did. Yes, yeah, so I played basketball in school. We did pickup basketball at a gym that was close. So that might be part of the reason as
I wonder if it is. And so going back to your question about like what I would suggest to somebody who doesn't like sports is to take a look at that. Like, where does your attitude about this come from? And I think for some people, maybe not all, but for some people, it comes from what you grew up thinking about what it meant. And, you know, I did not do a lot of sports growing up. I did not. And it's not just because I was a girl of a certain era, although that played a piece of it. But it was also like that's not something my family did, you know? I mean, my parents didn't exercise.
Yeah.
So I didn't grow up with that as a part of our family culture, if you will.
Right.
And so it's something to stop and think about. So if you want to be more fit, you may have to get over that hump of sort of acclimating yourself to doing something different than what you were born and bred to do.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's funny because now one of the other reasons that I work out pretty hard is because I have as I've gotten older, I used to hate hiking, but now I really like it. And my husband and I went, Matt loves hiking. He grew up hiking. And Matt is, y'all know him, he's enormous. He's 6'6". So a couple of years ago, we ended up doing sort of on a whim, a 10-mile hike in Glacier National Park, which is 8,000 feet. And I thought I was in good shape. It was like an 85-degree day, which is pretty unusual there, and it's dry. I got out of that park and ate an entire bag of oranges, and I thought to myself, and my left hamstring was really bothering me, and I was like, wow, I am not in as good a shape as I thought I was.
You're at altitude, though.
But to me, that was like, I thought I was in great shape, and I just really wasn't. And one of the things that I started to notice as I hit my late 40s was I couldn't run up and down the stairs as easily as I could before. So that's when I was like, oh, no, that's not I mean, it's going to happen eventually. But I'm like, at this age, I should be. That's when I started lifting heavy and really getting into it. And now, you know, I can go on long hikes with Matt, who's bigger than I am. So he's faster than I am, and keep up and keep going. And it was funny. Gabriel and I, that's my son, we took a hike this summer and we were kind of hauling. And I was like, are you slowing down for me? And he's like, no. And I was like, yes. Paid off.
Stamina does change.
Oh, it does change.
And also, like, I can't do altitude. Like, I'm literally concerned and worried about thin air and high altitude. It's somewhere that I won't go. But
and dehydration is a big difference between now and your 20s.
So if I were to leave anything with listeners in how to like jump in and find their jam if they can. I think if you pick a friend and start something together, you literally could be the two of you in the high school gym on a weekend doing pickup basketball and just Or even, what is the game? Is it, no, what is it called? Where you throw it and if you miss, it's the next person you go around.
Like
you,
horse?
Horse.
Yes, horse. Anything like
or
that.
Or water aerobics.
And, so it would be find a friend and do something. Because you were talking about it, even walking, that's important. A lot of the classes today, it could be bar, jazzercise, they do cost money. But you could do it in your living room. Honestly, there's so much on YouTube to exercise that is fun as well. And then I think the other thing is kind of measure your success. Don't expect to have like big guns or anything, but you can add 5 and 10 minutes to your walk or a few more hills. And it is interesting, consistency. Consistency is everything, and you do build up strength. Mm-hmm. There's only one way for it to go. Also, at my age, prevent injury. Like, there's things I will not do. You're talking about personal trainer.
Same.
Yeah, if I'm going to start picking up weights, which I have, or doing deadlifts, it is going to be with somebody, and I'm going to learn how to do it correctly. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't advise anyone to just start picking up weights if they haven't gone through that process of proper training.
Yeah, deadlifts, I was going really heavy for a while, and then I was like, why am I doing this? I'm like, I'm going to take the weight down and just do more reps because I know there's like a whole science about whether that's – I was like, it's good enough. Like, it's good enough.
How do you see your fitness program changing in the next 10 years as you get older?
Oh, that's a good question.
Do you think it will? Do you think it won't?
It will, just because as our bodies age, like, things change. I think the basics will stay the same, but my ability at some point, my ability to lift as much as, because I can lift a lot, but like my ability to do that will decline over time. I think lifting, actually, I don't want to say it's the most important, but in a lot of ways it is the most important because it's the thing that keeps the muscle on, which, so like when I started lifting, I called my mother who was like 76 at the time. I was like, do not pass go. You need to start lifting. She has a house with like 4 sets of stairs, but I was like, at some point you're not going to be able to do the stairs because you actually have to do more than body weight to be able to do that into your 80s. And she within like 3 months was like, and she was doing 30 minutes twice a week with a trainer. And she was like, oh my gosh, my body's changed. Like, it's amazing. So I think I'll always keep doing it. It's just going to be less or a little bit different as I get older.
And your mom talked about it. She was so proud of it. I love that.
Really
she was showing her muscles to me.
It's really cute.
You know, as far as mine changing, I like to like do different things. I'll stick with something for a few years and then go to something else. But looking forward, and I think everybody in midlife should be thinking this, one is muscle and strength, lean muscle mass. The other is flexibility. So I see in the future, I said I don't like yoga. Well, I've actually never tried yoga because it's so intimidating. I have to be quiet and I have to like be in my head, and that's scary. I don't want to be in my head. But the flexibility that comes from that is really important. So I see actually doing yoga or doing more flexibility in my routine. I think that's really important as we age.
What about you?
Oh, heck, I'll just keep walking.
I think we can end there.
Well, I hope the listeners got something out of this today. It doesn't matter. Start small, have fun, get a friend. But as Carmen had said, when you're 80, you're going to be glad you did it.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.